43. Mike twisted his head around to find Jamie. She was curled in a ball near the ramp, arms wrapped over her head. Anne was shrieking and crying and rocking back and forth on the floor, but didn't seem to be injured. Olaf sat near the base of the door, cautiously touching the side of his head. Sasha was sprawled by the far wall. Mike's fingers probed his stomach. He had some cuts with a lot of blood, but they didn't seem to be serious. He crawled to his feet and a few drops of blood pattered to the floor. His fingers pressed a little harder, and he counted to 5. His gut ached, but everything was staying in place. Arthur threw up again. This time was more of a retch. A thin line of drool stretched down from his lip. He staggered over to grab his cane where he'd dropped it. Jamie lifted her head and glanced around. Her eyes fell on the cloaked body.
Is it dead?
Mike staggered over to her, one arm wrapped around his stomach.
I hope so.
You're bleeding.
I think Sasha's bleeding a lot more.
Arthur! He waved the other man to her. Jamie wrapped an arm around Mike and helped him towards Sasha. They stepped around the fallen chair, keeping the creature in their line of sight. It didn't move. He saw a reflection on the floor next to it that looked like blood. Anne's shrieks faded into a muffled sobbing. She stared at the dead thing on the floor and trembled. Her eyes were glazed. She muttered a few random sounds and seemed to think they were words. Jamie and Mike reached Sasha just as Arthur did. Jamie gave Mike a squeeze and released him, making sure he could stand on his own. Then she doubled back to check on Anne. Sasha groaned, stretched her leg, and then leaped up with a shout.
"It's okay,"
said Mike. He settled her down. Blood had soaked her forearm. At least 2 of the gashes were deep enough to show muscle. Her eyes darted around.
Where is it?
Mike pointed.
Arthur shot it. What?
Sasha stared at the pistol in the older man's hand.
Where the fuck did you get that?
Top left drawer of my desk,
said Arthur. Mike glanced at the weapon. It was stuck open, which he knew meant it was empty. The ants carried out a series of images from television shows and movies, and a small sequence of Tommy Lee Jones explaining the wonders of the firearm to Robert Downey Jr. and U.S. Marshals.
You keep a Glock in your desk?
Of course I do. I'm the head of a highly classified Department of Defense project.
He looked over at the body.
Did anyone see where it came from?
It came out of the door,
said Olaf. The split across his cheek streamed blood down onto his chest. A huge bruise was blossoming along his jaw. Jamie shook her head.
We were right there,
she said.
Nothing came out.
I think he's right,
said Mike.
It came out of the rings.
I saw something in there,
said Sasha.
I think I saw it. It saw me.
Mike prodded her arm and she yelped.
Sorry.
Sasha flexed her hand and winced. Her cheek had faint hints of red and purple across it.
Am I going to live?
I think you're going to need stitches, said Mike. But it doesn't look too bad.
He glanced up at Arthur.
Your doctor trustworthy?
How so?
Can he keep this quiet?
If this is an attack, I think he needs to report it to the police.
So?
Mike gestured at the corpse with his chin.
You want to explain that to the police? That's before we try to explain that you shot and killed it.
Arthur looked at the pistol in his hand.
I see your point.
He crouched and set the weapon down on the floor.
I've known David for years. I think we can trust him to be discreet.
Then let's get her to the doctor.
Yes,
said Sasha.
Let's.
Her cheek was all purple now, and the color was spreading along her jaw. She winced as they helped her up and bit back a yell when Arthur grabbed her arm by accident.
You too,
he said to Olaf.
I'm fine. You're bleeding like crazy,
said Jamie.
It's just a flesh wound,
Olaf said.
I'm fine.
It hit you in the head hard enough to knock you 10 feet,
said Mike.
You need to get checked for a concussion at the least. Probably an X-ray to be safe.
Jamie wandered back with Anne. The receptionist had calmed down and wrapped her arms around herself. Jamie cast her eyes on Mike's bloody shirt and hand.
What about you?
I'm okay. It looks worse than it is.
It doesn't matter if it was carrying an infection, said Olaf.
That's a happy fucking thought, Sasha muttered.
Mike glanced over at the first aid kit attached to the workstation. He was pretty sure it hadn't been restocked since Bob's accident. His mind flitted through images of the building and picked out three other kits.
Can you get me a first aid kit? He asked Jamie. Maybe the big one from the kitchen? I'll use up all the hydrogen peroxide and antiseptic ointment before I bandage myself up. Then I can have some of whatever antibiotics they give Sasha.
You scared of the doctor?
No. I'm scared of leaving this thing alone and having it be gone when we get back. Or of leaving you alone with it while we all go to the doctor and then you're gone when we come back.
I'm pretty sure it's dead, said Arthur.
Mike glared at him. Do you know what it is?
No, of course not.
Then maybe we shouldn't assume it's dead. Arthur bowed his head.
Of course.
Anne bit back another sob. Her eyes were locked on the creature.
Can someone please just get the fucking first aid kit so we can go?
Growled Sasha. Jamie vanished into the offices, dragging Anne with her, and returned alone a few minutes later with the red canvas case. Arthur, Sasha, and Olaf were waiting at the big door when she returned. They slipped out, and the door thumped shut behind them. Mike pulled his hand away from his stomach. It was sticky with blood, but the actual bleeding seemed to have stopped. He loosened the first button on his shirt.
Where's Anne?
I left her in the kitchen with some coffee and a bunch of Advil.
She okay?
I think she might have a few bruises. Nothing that'll show.
No, I mean, is she okay?
I don't know. I'll let you know when I'm done freaking out.
Jamie crouched a few feet from the creature.
You really think it might still be alive?
Maybe.
He pushed the last button through its hole. One side of his shirt fell open. The other side stayed stuck to his body.
He shot it a dozen times.
10, and only 5 of them hit.
You know, that can be annoying.
Tell me about it.
He gritted his teeth and peeled the shirt off. Jamie righted one of the chairs, set the kit down, and unzipped it. It was an oversized thing intended for earthquakes. She pulled out some alcohol swabs and a box of gauze.
This is going to sting, she said.
I thought it might.
She used half a dozen swabs cleaning off the blood. He winced a few times. She tossed the swabs in a pile on the floor.
It doesn't look too bad, she said.
There were 3 gouges in his stomach and a long scrape, deep enough that it had bled a bit.
I think only the big one broke the skin.
Lucky,
said Mike. He looked at the body again.
The roaches are back.
The green bugs were creeping out from beneath equipment, making small circles on the floor. Their antennae waved back and forth. 2 or 3 of them scurried up to the dead creature and then darted away.
Looks like they didn't like him either,
Mike said.
I don't blame them.
She tore open a pack of gel caps, popped them in her mouth, and swallowed them dry.
They have an extra limb, too.
What?
The roaches. All have an extra leg on the right side, just like this thing.
He dipped his head toward the body.
Really?
She twisted the cap on a brown bottle and the seal popped. She peeled it away.
You never noticed?
She glanced over at the bugs and the body.
I don't spend a lot of time looking at cockroaches. Lean back.
He rested his hands on the desktop and she poured hydrogen peroxide across his stomach. It sizzled on the wounds. Mike took in a sharp breath and banged his hand against the desk.
Stings?
Yep.
Jamie splashed more of it on him. The cuts foamed and hissed. She rinsed his wounds one last time and a few more bubbles danced on his skin.
Almost done.
Good. My pants are soaked.
You'll live.
Other parts of me are tingling.
That's just because I'm touching you.
Ha!
She pulled the cap off a yellow tube and squeezed ointment over the gouges. Mike went to spread it around and she slapped his fingers away. She tore open 2 packs of gauze at the same time, pressed them over the wounds, and had him hold them while she peeled off some tape. Then she found a bandage in the kit and wrapped it 4 times around his stomach.
I think that's enough, he said.
You sure?
How are you? That thing hit you pretty hard.
She reached back and touched her head behind her ear.
I've got a lump and some sore ribs. I'll live.
You sure?
I got off easy. The rest of you took the beating.
She gestured at the body.
So, what now?
We should lock it up somewhere. Maybe clean out one of the hazmat lockers?
She looked past him.
The closest one's way over there. We wouldn't be able to watch it and empty the locker.
Maybe tie it up?
It's a high-energy physics lab. We don't have a lot of rope laying around.
He shivered.
You sure you're okay?
I'm kind of cold.
Really?
I've lost some blood, my pants are wet, and I don't have a shirt.
Yes, I'm cold. Okay, then,
she said.
We can't leave it alone. We can't lock it up.
She glanced over at the rings.
And we can't stay here.
He nodded.
So we make sure it's dead.
Jamie found two big wrenches in the toolbox. Each one was only a foot long, but they were steel and solid and had a good weight to them. There were a few utility knives, but the blades were too short to be of any use. They approached the body. Its blood was dark red. A few more roaches circled the creature, but none of them moved closer than a few inches before skittering away. He could see the back of the creature's head. It had a loose circle of gray-black hair. The strands were close to dreadlocks in places, thinning and patchy in others. The cloak was coarse leather that had been bleached by the sun. Not even leather, just hides that had been worn and bent enough to stay soft. Some of it was hairless, some had bristly patches of fur. The whole thing was held together with broad stitches of thick cord. Mike had a feeling it was dried muscle sinews. He knew Native Americans and some other cultures used sinews for threads and bowstrings.
I think that's a good sign, he said, pointing his wrench at the roaches circling the body.
You think they're going to eat it?
No clue. But they were mobbing this place until it showed up, and now they're all coming back. I think they know it's dead.
Does that mean we're done?
He shook his head.
We've got to be sure.
Jamie looked at the two right hands sticking out from under the cloak. One was palm up, the other palm down. Two of the long fingers curled under the left hand.
You want to take its pulse or something?
I guess. It's a start.
Wish I'd kept the fire extinguisher.
You want to go grab it?
No.
You sure?
Believe me, she said. If it moves, I'm beating its head in with this wrench.
Mike reached over the puddle of blood and touched the creature's left wrist. Hot pinpricks of pain sparked under his bandages as he stretched. He tried to ignore them. The skin looked like wet clay, but he felt dozens of tiny scales shift under his fingertip. He counted to five. When the body didn't move, he lifted the hand. The bent fingers uncurled, and he heard the rustle of Jamie's clothes as she tensed up. He let the wrist settle against his fingers and counted to 10. Nothing. No throb or rhythm or tremor. Drops of blood beaded up on two of the long nails and plopped to the floor.
Well?
Asked Jamie. He counted to 10 again. Still no pulse.
I'm going to try to roll it over, he said.
Why?
To get a better look at it.
You're hurt, she said. Why don't I roll it over?
Because I'm hurt, he said. And if it jumps up and grabs me, I want somebody healthy trying to beat its head in.
She managed a tight smile. The easiest way to flip the body, Mike decided, was to move the single arm in close to the torso and then roll the creature from the other side. He tucked his wrench into the back pocket of his jeans, slid his hand along the cloak to the elbow, and pushed. The joint was more flexible than he expected. The loose material of the cloak, half stuck to the floor by blood, rolled and flopped under the arm. He shifted his feet, leaned a little farther and pushed the arm up against the body. The fingers left trails of clean floor in the puddle, and then the blood oozed back in to fill the trails and erase them. The cloak dragged out flat. Mike looked down and screamed. He pushed himself back. The pinpricks of pain in his stomach became razors, and he slammed into Jamie. She saw the cloak and made a sound that could have been a loud groan or a muffled shout. She slapped her free hand over her mouth. Mike's mind was a blur of static. The ants had hundreds of facts and images for his comparison. What kept rising to the foreground was another fact about Native Americans, an old grade school maxim. They used every part of what they hunted.